So Genesis chapter 37, and I'll just read two or three verses to us. It says, "Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the genealogy of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah," okay, "and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father." Wasn't he a nice son? "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was a son of his old age. Also he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him." Okay. Joseph was a spoilt brat. I think that's probably the best way you could look on it. His father, probably when he was younger, he didn't think too much about his sons, left them to his wives. Maybe the culture of the day was that someone else raised them. The father didn't take too much to do with them until they were a bit older. But whatever it was, when he got older and maybe he wasn't as active and he had children of his old age, Joseph and Benjamin, he really put a lot of time into them, but he hadn't learnt an awful lot because he spoiled Joseph terribly, just as he probably neglected his previous sons to a certain degree. And they hated Joseph for all of that. They probably felt neglected, even as adults. Their father hadn't considered them. And Joseph, he was spoiled rotten by his father. So he was what we would call a tittle-tattle. You ever heard that expression? He told tales behind back. And he was just probably an obnoxious 17-year-old. But then he began to have dreams. The Lord started to speak to him in dreams. And him not having a lot of wisdom and being this kind of a young man, he spoke them out in a way that was not considerate of what was going on around him, because he wouldn't have been aware of this animosity towards him. So what I'm trying to bring out here is that Joseph was getting a lot of revelation, but he had no experience to handle the revelation. So what he was doing was, as he was speaking out the stuff, even saying to his father, "You'll bow down to me," what was happening to him was he was getting marginalized. And he eventually finished up, and we all know the story, he finished up in a pit, he finished up in Potiphar's house, and then he finished up in prison. And I was thinking about this, and we're coming into the new year, and maybe you have had a revelation, but you may not have the experience to know how to handle a revelation. As a matter of fact, the revelation may be causing you more trouble than it should, really should. And someone put up on Facebook this last day or two this quote. Someone said to this person, "Why don't you act your age?" And the person replied back, "Well, I can't. I've never been this old before." You know, I don't know whether you get that or not. But, you know, none of us today is a new day, because none of us, as far as the years we've lived, have never been this way before in age terms. I don't care how young we are or how old we are, that's the way things are. And Joseph had never been that way before. And what God does for each of us, he allows circumstances to occur to cause us to catch up with our revelation. Okay? And he had his revelation, but he was in no shape. It was going to be 20 odd years before he was in any shape to fulfill his revelation. And we have three choices. I think the three images of what Joseph went through are choices that we probably can have. And maybe all of those choices could be ours. And maybe we've all experienced them. And the first choice that we might come upon us or might happen to us, if you had a choice, the first one was the pit. And to me, the pit's a very lonely place. It's an empty place. There's a no-hope place. It's a place of death. You look up and all you see is the sky. You look around, all you see is the walls of the pit. You look down, all you see is the mess of your bed. And it's like a place where the sentence of death has been passed over you, and there doesn't seem to be much hope of any resurrection. Now, I'm sure some of us have experienced that, if not most of us. The second one, or we'll leave the second one, and I'll go to the third one, is the place of the prison. And to me, the prison is a place of frustration, because you have loads of people around you who are probably equally as frustrated as you are, but you're in a prison environment. And no matter how much you try to get free, no matter how much you can do in that place, you're still frustrated. You're a frustrated person. You haven't been able to move forward. You haven't been able to move into the dream or the vision that you have. And you're still trying to get to that place. And you're in this prison environment. And sometimes God allows that so that we can mature. And usually we find our company with other frustrated people as well. And that can be what our life is about. And then the middle one was where he went into Potiphar's house. And if I had a choice of allowing my experience to catch up with my revelation, I would choose the Potiphar's house. Yes, he was a slave. But I image that when we become Christians, we become slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we take on the garments of a servant. And we serve for no reward. Okay? Now, I say that deliberately, because we all know that we have a reward in heaven. But when you serve on earth, it's not to get a reward on earth. It's to serve because that's the garment you wear. So everything you do is an act of service. So from the person who stands on the platform on a Sunday to the mother who washes the dishes at the sink, from the child who goes and runs an errand on behalf of their parents, when you're a Christian, it's an act of servanthood. You're doing it out of service sake. And all the while you're waiting for the revelation to come. And sometimes the acts of service are sacrificial, because you don't really want to do that stuff. You're not inclined. God didn't call me, to do this, but I have to do it. So you do it. And whatever that is for each one of us, we do it while we wait for the revelation to come. And all the while we're doing it, our experience is catching up with a revelation to equip us. Now, it wouldn't be great if 2016 was the year that some revelation we've had that has never been fulfilled, it was the year we caught up with the revelation and it became our time. Hallelujah. Became our moment that was fulfilled. And that's what I want to just leave us with, is can we look to see if 2016 is going to be the year that the revelation comes to pass, that we have grown into the place of the revelation through the experience, the difficult experiences. So I personally would choose Potiphar's house, hallelujah, over the pit and the prison. Now, I'd have to ask my sisters if I was a spoiled brat as a teenager. But, I've done some pit time. And I've done some prison time. But I'd rather fulfill all my time between the fulfillment of revelations in the slave house, being a slave for the Lord Jesus Christ, serving him and serving God's people. Serving my family, and that's that's what I'd rather do, because to me that's fulfilling while you're between the two places of revelation. So, can we look at that, each one of us, and say, well, okay, Lord, hey, I've had something from you. Maybe there's something buried in the past that maybe you'd forgotten about. And this could be your year. This could be somewhere between the next, the 1st of January and the 31st of December 2016, the thing could come to pass. Not because you did something spectacular, but it was because you grew up into the revelation. Praise the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Now we're going to sing a few songs of worship. And I just want us to be free. What we're going to do is we're just going to get in the flow of God's presence, sing a few songs of worship. And we just want to open the meeting right up and allow the Spirit of God just to minister.